What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio, a send-up of the medium. In other words, it's supposed to be funny. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight we're going to do something that, listen to that. As soon as I open my mouth and the voice comes out, I get just such a thrill to know that I'm not going to be talking much tonight. And I know it's got to be happening in cities, in villages, in Quonset huts all across this country, this laryngitis, bronchitis thing. Thank you, God, for giving us the common cold. I guess it's either this or a brain tumor, an inoperable brain tumor. I'd rather have this. Although, what's the difference, man? If my throat sounds like this, I can't work anyway. Might as well have the brain tumor. I might get some good ideas from it. In any event, tonight we're going to listen to this throat. I excuse me. I know I can make it sound better. Hold on. I'll just take a sip of green tea. Ah, oh, that's great. Now, maybe if I did Margaret's voice. No, that's not going to work either.
How about if I go through the whole show like this?
No, that won't work. Well, anyway, tonight we're going to be all request. All request. We will play bits from our CDs. We will play bits from some of our flashback CDs that we have in studio. And we'll take as many requests as we can. We'll also play some favorites of ours. And just so you know, the show isn't on tape. Today is November, what, Chris? Today's the 1st?
30th.
The 30th. It's 2004. And it's a Tuesday night. And all is well on the Western Front, baby. And it's the Phil Hendry Show. And, you know, there's a doctor. I got a doctor, and he's a great doctor, and I won't mention his name because he'd probably get arrested, but he's the kind of guy I can call up and say, hey, doc, you know, I need, and he'll just, yeah, it's downstairs in the pharmacy. Like one of those great doctors in the movies that would operate on the bank robber. You could always have this one good doctor you could take your buddy to after you held up a bank and say he's got 6 slugs in him, and this is one of these really great crooked doctors. I've got one of those. I think I may call him tomorrow. If things don't improve. Anyway, we are going to play requests tonight, and I'm going to start off with a request that I have, and this is from our 2004 CD, the brand new one, which is called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, and it's called Ted Bell and the Curse of the Lowbrow Customers. This is Ted excoriating me for encouraging my listeners to go to his restaurant, Ted's of Beverly Hills, because they're all lowbrow people, and he only takes the classiest customers. Here's Ted Bell from our new 2004 CD entitled Fahrenheit 7-Eleven.
I would like to know why you feel like we should not bring up issues like this. This is everyday issues. Everybody does not have money. Everybody is not born with money.
What was that? What happened?
Hold on, I'm sorry. Hold on. Someone just pulled in a Ford Ranger truck.
What difference does it make they drive?
I got to take care of this, Phil.
Okay, Crystal, go ahead. Give us your opinion. Ted's taking care of something in the parking lot. And you feel that it's unnecessary?
Yeah, I feel that it's unnecessary that he feels like someone should not pull up in the restaurant in a damn Rolls Royce.
I'm sorry, Phil. A guy pulled up in a Ford Ranger and wanted it valeted, and I was sick all over the front of my suit, so I'm going to have to change my shirt. If you can give me just 60 seconds.
Go ahead.
Can you just, like...
Let me ask you something, Crystal. This is Phil Hendry. What do you think about a guy that screams as if he's just seen Frankenstein?
To me, is sickening.
And not only that,
He made the remark that he just threw it up all over the front of his shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, that, to me, is sickening. I guess he thinks that everybody should walk around with thousands of dollars in their pocket. We don't have that. All everybody doesn't have it.
Is this Crystal? Crystal is Ted Bell. Let me ask you a question. If I asked you if you wanted Pellegrino or flat water, what am I talking about?
If I wanted Pellegrino or flat water,
what's the difference between the two? And, Phil, do you have that Jeopardy music that we get?
No, I don't have the Jeopardy music, and I'm not going to make fun of people.
I don't want to make fun of her either.
You don't have to make fun of
me.
I'm just saying, why would I want to go to and I understand your point of view, but why would I want to go to someone's restaurant that is going to get on it? Okay, let's say that I don't have as much money as you, and I want to go out to eat somewhere nice, and let's say my husband hates me.
Wait a minute. What happened, Ted?
I'm very sorry.
Ted's got to come back, son.
Tony, is that you?
Yeah.
What happened?
He's sick.
What happened, Tony?
A guy was wearing moccasins.
A guy was wearing moccasins?
You got sick.
Go turn the radio on.
He puked because a guy walked in wearing leather moccasins. Now, this is the kind of elitism that I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's just...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand. He should be happy that someone of our class would want to go eat at
Crystal,
a restaurant
I'm not
like
saying,
that
Crystal,
and pay that amount of money for those kind of steaks.
Let me ask you this. Filet mignon, fish or beef?
Fish.
Say that again, Crystal. Filet mignon, fish or beef?
I guess fish. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Well, now, come on, Ted. That's not fair.
Exactly.
Crystal, filet mignon.
No. You're saying
it's
that
a beef
because
cut,
I couldn't answer a question like this. Are you talking about class education?
All right, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he is puking
now,
every time something happens.
Why would you even want someone like that advertising on your show?
He
can't run your show. He can't
tell
you what to do.
He does. He puts an awful lot of money into our show every year.
All right, Crystal, Merlot, is it wine or is it the name of a magician?
What did he just ask me?
He asked you, Merlot. Is that the name of a wine or the name of a famous magician, Merlot?
Wine?
Yeah. You think it's a wine, hon? It's a wine, Ted.
Thank God, because I was running out of shirts.
It is a wine, I know.
Yes, of course it is. And I think you're demeaning this lady, Ted, with these questions.
I'm saying if people can answer a simple question, I will let them into my restaurant. For instance, tonight we're asking...
Why do you have to answer questions?
Because I don't want you sitting there saying, hi, could I have the filet mignon, and is it snapper tonight? God! Rice pilaf, Asian dish, or a dead Vietnamese man?
Okay, that's all. I'm finished, all right? Will you turn the music off, please?
I mean,
Crystal, it's sick, and he puked all over himself because a guy hit,
do you see what I'm saying? My husband has fought for this country.
What happened?
Somebody just thought that Peach Cobbler was a gay shoemaker. I'm done.
There it is. Excuse me. There it is. There's Ted Bell from our 2004 CD, which is entitled Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, and that is called The Curse of the Lowbrow Customer. And that is one of, we got two CDs this year, as we do every year, double CD on the 2004. I hope this doesn't sound like we're plugging the 2004 CD, but if we are plugging the 2004 CD, you might as well buy it, because if we are plugging it, I guess what you need to do is go buy it. Actually, what we're just playing for you is something we think was kind of funny. Some dude throwing up all over himself because he had to valet park a guy's Ford Ranger truck. But I could be wrong. I could be very wrong. Maybe it isn't funny. Today's news talk audience, you don't know. You never can tell what makes them laugh out there in news talk land. But we thought it was funny. Now, we are taking requests. In fact, I've got one that I'm going to go to here right after our break. And you can call us here at 1-800-449-8686. This sounds like almost like a telethon, doesn't it? Yes, call us right now. And don't forget to buy the CD. No, actually, I'm not plugging the new CD. We're going to go back to all of the old ones. We got our best of 2000. Every one that we cut since we've been syndicated nationally, we're going to do. And why are we doing this? Because you can hear the state of my voice. You can hear the sound of my phlegmic voice, and it's just what everybody's got, man. I'm sure there's got to be somebody where you work who is out with this, one or two, or you run into them in the lunchroom. Hey, how you doing? Oh, okay. Yeah, you sound great, man. All right, listen, before we go to the break, though, I want to read this to you, because I just found this. I didn't know this, but I'm in Snopes.com's search directory. Do you know what Snopes is? Snopes is a tremendous site. It debunks myth and urban legend. If there's any myth, any urban legend that you have questions about, I suggest you go to Snopes.com because they clear it up. It's a husband and wife team who allegedly, or apparently, seemingly got together to... They got tired of hearing all of this phony baloney stuff. So, apparently, our show is on Snopes.com because of Steve Bozell and some of the stuff that he's floated on our show. Now, dig this. Snopes will start with the claim. A Corona, California man sued Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge for emotional distress after duct taping his privates. Then they say whether this is true or not. And they say, of course, the status of this is false. And then they give the example of what it is they're talking about. This was collected on the internet in 2003. Man sues Tom Ridge over duct tape fears. Tom Ridge's advice to Americans to stock up on duct tape and plastic has sparked a lawsuit which has been filed against him, the Department of Homeland Security, and President George Bush. Steve Bozell, the owner of B&B Construction in Corona, California, has filed a lawsuit claiming emotional distress, personal injury, and sexual dysfunction after he wrapped his privates in duct tape to protect them from a biological attack. Said Mr. Bozell, after watching Mr. Ridge on television advising us to stock up on duct tape and plastic, I went to the local Costco. I bought $100 worth of duct tape to protect myself. When I got home, I taped up my windows and doors. After I did that, I realized if survivors like myself are going to reproduce and populate the earth, we have to protect our privates as well. So somebody sent that to Snopes, and then Snopes tells you whether it's true or not. And Snopes says, no, it's bullcrap. And then they tell you at the very bottom, what is the origin of this line of bullcrap? And Snopes goes on to say, no resident of Corona, California ever filed a lawsuit against Secretary of Homeland Security Tom Ridge for emotional distress after duct taping his privates. This piece, let's see. You know what, man? I didn't. Anyway. This piece is the same. This piece is one of many that set off a craze during the Code Orange security alert in February 2003, that had Tom Ridge asking U.S. residents to buy duct tape and plastic sheeting to create a secure environment in their home in case of chemical or biological attack. Steve Bozell, the owner of B&B Construction, is a creation of talk show host Phil Hendry. Hendry's stock and trade is inventing outrageous guests with whom he converses on his show. The guests are actually voiced by Mr. Hendry, and one of his recurring characters is Steve Bozell, owner of B&B Construction, who regularly appears on Hendry's show to discuss his latest loony lawsuit. Then another one. The claim was that a California man was suing CBS, Janet Jackson, and Justin Timberlake over the breast-bearing incident of Super Bowl 33, or whatever it was, 38. The status is false. And once again, it's Steve Bozell who says he's going to sue because the incident left him physically ill. It induced vomiting, psychologically scarred his children, and has ruined his sex relations with his wife. And then they go on again to explain, hey, this is this guy, Steve Bozell, invented by this idiot Hendry, as we mentioned last year on our site. Hey, maybe we'll play some Steve Bozell later on. All right, coming up, we've got requests on our all-request night here on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We're playing cuts from our CDs, and we got one of your requests coming up.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Get in there and make me some bean dip.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, I'm doing a, I wish I could come out of this a little cleaner, but we're doing a all-request night tonight because of the obvious problem I'm having with my throat, and a lot of people are having it right now, and we're doing requests from all of our CDs. We're doing requests from flashbacks we've done. We're so heavily laden with comedy here that we thought, well, why don't we play some of these cuts and take requests, too. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And it's a great break from the planet, man, the way, the way this world seems to be turning these days. All right, now, here is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hi.
How you doing, man?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. Sort of. How do I sound?
A horse?
Yeah. So what do you want to hear, man? What's your request tonight?
I would love to hear Pastor William Rennick's civil rights trademark infringement.
Okay, because he says the gays are stealing civil rights?
That's right.
Well, you got it, Chris.
Piggybacking on the black man.
Yeah. Okay, dude, here it comes. Thank you for requesting that on
Thanks
the Phil Hendry
much.
Show. Sounds like we set that up, didn't it? But we didn't. That's what the guy wants to hear. So here it is, Pastor William Rennick. These gays are piggybacking on civil rights.
I'm a black man. I'm a black archer here in the state of Georgia. And I'm very, very few. It's not very many black auctioneers around here. And I've had more white people help me get to where I need to be than I have had my own brother.
You a black auctioneer? You said you're a black auctioneer.
Yes, I am. That's an interesting and I've had more black people help me get to the point where I am today, where I'm doing well.
Yeah, but we need to grow
as a country, man, and not
that's
just,
a good point, Joe.
You know, not just pull against each other.
All right, let Pastor Renick
say something.
You know,
let
Pastor
Renick going on and on and on and on. Just,
I want to just say
stop.
All right, hold on, Joe. Let Pastor Renick say something.
Brother, can I ask you a question? Could you do one of them, like what you do? Do you do that? Hey, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I do that.
Can you do some of that for me? I just want to hear it because I love the entire lost art of the auction, and it's very American to me. Can you do some of that for me?
Yeah, I can do it.
Just do a little bit for me.
You're trying to give. I want to make a point.
Hey, let me say something, brother. Let me say what you were saying.
We need to make a point here, man.
I want to say, I want to come out.
We need to stop this because I'm tired of hearing about all this hatred.
My daughter comes home every day.
Now,
here's a point I
want to
make.
And I'm trying to keep her. And you guys just keep this mess going on and on and on.
Joe, tonight I'm going to get on an airplane. I'm going to take my congregation on an Easter sabbatical to the Holy Land. My wife, Sister Bingham, and I, and our associate deacon, Richard Prelkop, we're staying at the Doubletree in Cairo, Egypt. And from there, we will go by way of Land Rover to the pyramid. And then by paddle boat up the Nile to the very ancient Suez Canal. And the entire experience will finish off with a cruise to Istanbul and then on to Athens. And then we fly back to Los Angeles via Frankfurt. Now, what do you think about that?
What has that got to do with anything?
Well, that's the money we raised. With these gay guys, we get the rights from them using the term civil rights. My church got to go on a whirlwind trip to the Middle East.
See, he's talking about making gay guys pay for the using the term civil rights.
That's silly.
Well, wait a second. You were sitting there going, old American. Well, I'm walking down the street to St. Augustine.
I mean, they are people, too, and they have rights, too. You know, I read the Bible. I do what I'm supposed to do. But, you know, we can't force our beliefs on everybody.
Brother, when you're
and they have their own beliefs. And I think we need to, you know, let them do what they want to do.
I know that, brother. But when you're sitting up there going, hey, what do we want for this piano? What are we going to get for this statue? And I'm out there getting my head cracked open by some cracker cop in St. Augustine. Well, you're saying some old lady, you want me to wrap that in newspaper for you? You want to take it like it is? What's that about?
All right. Look, Joe, you made some great points. I gotta go. And I have to say to you, Pastor Renick, you really got to calm down a little bit. I mean,
calm down! I feel great!
What do you mean a whirlwind vacation to Egypt because you used all that money that the gay guys paid you for using civil... Are you trying to tell me you got some guys paying you?
I got a deal, yeah.
Well, where's the bread for the rest of the black folks?
What you talking about?
So in other words, you got some gay guys paying you off for using the term civil rights, and you're taking your wife to the, what is it, Doubletree Hotel in Cairo?
Word!
Mr. Henry, I'm sorry, too.
Who's this?
Hold on.
Give me the phone. Give me the phone. Mr. Henry, this is Clara.
Oh, Ms. Bingham, how are you?
I'm fine. Pastor Renick needs his nap right now.
You ain't gonna put me to bed, woman! I'm trying to make a point about a black man!
He gets so wound up because we're going on a whirlwind vacation. Also, we have floor seats for a Laker game. So we are trying to get ready for the Easter sabbatical.
Well, Ms. Bingham, I didn't mean to keep him up past this. It's only 10 minutes to 8 o'clock here on the West Coast.
That woman treated me like a child! Like what I do, suck myself and put my diaper on!
Now you go to bed right now. I need your hot milk and everything.
Hot milk! Thanks a lot! Now I do look queer!
He's very upset about his image.
I know he is upset about his image. He just got back from Atlanta, and he's got a little bit of a cold. So I want him to go to bed before we go,
Hey, I gotta take a nap at the airport!
Jesus, I forgot about that.
Okay, that was a request there from Chris in San Diego for Pastor Renick and how the gay folks are piggybacking on the black folks, and they should be paying some copyright money for that term civil rights. And you'll notice at the end, we realized that he was taking a nap, but they were waiting at the airport for a plane. So Pastor Renick had to cop to the fact, how can I take a nap at the airport? Anyway, we got more requests coming up. It is Tuesday night. It's November 30, 2004. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And if you've got a request of a bit, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You're a buttplug with legs.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, it's an all-request night tonight on The Phil Hendry Show, and our number is 1-800-449-8686 if you want to request a bit from one of our CDs or a recent flashback. And we're taking requests from people that are calling, and we're looking for those cuts. In other words, we're not telling people what to request. I don't know if you know this or not, but music stations do that. Hey, why don't you just request Stairway to Heaven? Oh, but I really wanted to hear. I don't care what you wanted to hear. Request. No, but people call up a bit. We look for it, and we've been able to find a few. So we have another request coming up. Just wanted to mention, since you know the show is live tonight, and I am suffering a little bit from this bronchitis, but I got to tell you this. Otherwise, it's not going to be interesting 2 or 3 days down the road when I finally get rid of this laryngitis. But I went to the SC game on Saturday night, and the Trojans just, I mean, mauled the Notre Dame like 41-10. I remember after SC went ahead, 17-10, I think, I said, okay, that's it. Notre Dame isn't going to score again. And there's like three guys in front of me that are Notre Dame fans going, are you crazy? Because Notre Dame had led at one point, 10-3. I said, nope, you guys are done scoring. Because if that's your offense, running and scrambling, you're done. It got to be like 35-10, and these guys were long gone. Anyway, great time. But I got to tell you guys this. You guys listening in L.A., you're going to understand what I'm saying. The L.A. Memorial Coliseum is an utter mess. I mean, if you cats have a big sign that says Starbucks coffee here, then try not to run out of it. Do you understand that when you get 80,000 people in a stadium, it's going to be a lot of folks wanting coffee? And when you eliminate the beer sales after the end of the half, which they don't sell beer after the half, which is cool, I don't care. But I do want something to drink still, and a Coca-Cola ain't going to make it on a 40-degree night in pouring rain, which is what it was Saturday night. So there's the big Starbucks sign, right? And I admit I'm hooked. And, you know, you see a big Starbucks sign on a 40-degree night in the middle of a driving rainstorm in a football game and they're not selling beer. It's like seeing palm trees and a glistening pool of water in the middle of the freaking Sahara. So I walk over there. Nah, we're all out. I went downstairs. Nah, we're all out. You cats are really, like, get it together with that coffee. And the other thing, just one thing, my friend Ramo got his car towed, the idiot. Because he parked at the Coliseum, and he met us at the game. Now this idiot, I'm leaving, and I get a call from him. Yeah, my car's been towed. I go, what? He said, well, some dudes were saying $30 park here. So he went ahead and he did it, right? So I go, okay, kind of dumb for you to do that. However, you say the car's been towed, and you know where it is? He go, yeah. I said, there's something wrong there, man. So, anyway, he went down and got his car, and the people at the tow agency, I think you guys at LAPD should know this, the towing company said the LAPD is scared to deal with the thugs around the Coliseum that are parking cars illegally. Now, I don't believe them, but that's what they're telling people, that you guys at LAPD that work the Coliseum during football games, you're scared of these thugs that are pulling guns on the people who own the property and parking cars there illegally. Just thought you'd like to know. Just thought I'd stir it up a little bit. Anyway, Bell wound up, this guy winds up paying like $300 to get his car out of Hawk. I said, dude, when it says $40 and there's a gate around the parking lot, use that one. I realize you really want to save the $10 by parking it on someone's lawn. All right, here we go. Let's go to a request now, and I have on the line with me, oh, line one, right? Yeah, cool. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you doing, Phil?
Great, man. What do you want to request tonight?
Hey, I was wanting to listen to Jim Sadler. He went to Europe and came back and watched Americans to get past 9/11.
Yeah.
And he's going to do his thing out in the front yard.
This is the one where he was working out in his thong in the front yard and just kind of hanging loose, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. Dr. Jim Sadler. All right, man. Where are you calling from tonight, brother?
Kansas.
Cool.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. Here it is. Dr. Jim Sadler on an all-request night here on The Phil Hendry Show.
Doc, are you crazy? Are you a moron? You got to be crazy. Listen, I've been lifting since I was 20, and I'm 43. I don't need to be in the front yard showing off to everybody else.
But why do you hide
what I am?
Why do you hide it?
See who it. All they need to know is who I am inside. Not about looking at me on my front lawn. And I'll tell you right now, if I'm in your neighborhood, I'll be happy to walk up and say, hey, man, could you put some pants on? Nobody else in the neighborhood wants to see your bronze little buns.
Well, you know, first of all, congratulations on your weightlifting career, and secondly, I wish you felt more free with yourself to be able to show off your physique, which you have earned, especially when you're giving some of the ladies in the neighborhood a break. I mean, look at half of these guys that they're married to. You see what I'm saying? If you're a little more European, you'd be out there on the front lawn in a nice brown thong or whatever you want to wear, showing the ladies what it's all about.
Hey, is that what I'd be
doing? You're kidding.
Man, you know what? This body's for my wife. It's not for anybody else. You got a wife? Share it with her. Not everybody else in the neighborhood.
What do you lift?
Where do I lift or what do
I lift? What do you lift?
As far as...
Wait,
talking max? Are you talking...
Yeah, what's your max?
Oh, my max has been over 400. Now it's probably 310.
Oh, really? Kind of sliding a little bit, huh?
As you get older, you know, other things take priority.
Well, listen
kids
to this.
Take priority. Wives take priority. I have three daughters, and you know, I don't want any of them looking at your butt.
That was my point.
Do you do any of those DB presses? Can you do them seated?
DB presses for what?
I can do the max on a hip abductor machine. Listen to this. Oh, yeah.
Okay, look, Dr. Sadler?
Yeah.
We don't want to hear you.
That makes you a man?
Well, what are you talking about?
Look, this man made a good point.
That does nothing for me. That does nothing for me. Hey. And if you're trying to tell me that it's got something to do with 9/11, you're crazy.
No.
You're crazy, man.
The fact that...
Nothing in 9/11's got nothing to do with you wanting people to look at your body.
No, the fact that you don't want to wear a thong is because you're still afraid of 9/11.
Oh, I see.
What
is my fear? That's what I want to know, because I see no fear in 9/11. Those people aren't intimidating to me. Those people aren't, I don't worry about those people.
Have you ever done a hack squat calf raise?
Oh, come off it, man.
All right, look, Mr. Sadler or Dr. Sadler.
I am a doctor.
All right. The point here, and Kenny alluded to it, if he has daughters who are coming in and out of the house and see this, wouldn't you respect a father who comes over and says, would you mind, my daughters are out here?
Well, I mean, what's he afraid of? 9/11, that's what he's afraid of. Why is he...
Wait a minute, he's saying, I don't care, maybe even my wife doesn't care. My kids, I care about them.
That's right, and I say, hey man... How about if you're going to put that thong on, go to your backyard instead of the front yard, because nobody in the neighborhood wants to see it.
Well, I would say this, Kenny. The day that you're able to put your pain away for 9/11 is the day you'll be out on your lawn doing swish kicks in a thong. That's all I can tell you.
There it is. That's Dr. Jim Sadler. There wasn't more to the call. I think I just had it on repeat. And so he says the day you can get over 9/11, you're doing swish kicks in your thong, by request here on the Phil Henry Show on this Tuesday night, man. It's like between holidays, so we thought we'd give everybody a break, speaking of giving people a break, and play some of our best of material. And we're going into our CDs, which are available online, by the way, at www.philhenryshow.com. And we're also going into some cuts that didn't make it onto the CD. That one, in particular, I don't think is on any CD. And we got more requests coming up. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with an Art Bell request. Not Art calling in with a request. It's somebody requesting one of our Art Bell bits on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Who wouldn't let the good father take a look for an Arby's beef?
Which?
One 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And I got to go quickly to a call here. Wait a minute, Ryan. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, man. What do you want to hear?
It was a bit. I think General Johnson Jameson. He was
going into the eye of a hurricane with
that's right
and sponges.
It's in fact, it's on our best of CD for 2004, man. So thanks for calling with that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Here it is. General Johnson Jameson goes into the eye of a hurricane on the Art Bell Show. Pardon me. Oh, that's better. And now, Coast to Coast with Art Bell. West of the Rockies, don't bother. East of the Rockies, okay. South of the Rockies, north of the Rockies. Under the Rockies. Whatever. And now here's Art Bell.
And thank you very much, Ross Mitchell, and a very good morning to each and every one of you this morning. We are going to be with General Johnson Jameson. And General Jameson is going to be undertaking an exploration and a journey which is unprecedented. Traveling to the interior of a hurricane where it is believed by some, and I must say this reporter is one of them, that little people live in a magical land. General Jameson has been doing studies on this for quite some time, and tonight, on Coast to Coast, we will go to the center of Hurricane Charlie and visit small people in a magical land filled with gingerbread houses and swing sets. But first this from Peenemann Enterprises. Friends, in an apocalyptic future, after the road warrior has had his way with you and leaves your wife and daughter slung over his shoulder, you'll probably want to kill yourself. Without any weapons of any kind, having all been confiscated by the local warlord, it might be a daunting task. Might be, but won't be. Not with delicious new Wrigley's Flavor Burst Cyanide Gum. One chew and you're dead in the nuclear dust. With the extra added benefit of meeting the Grim Reaper with fresh breath. Yes, it's new, Wrigley's Flavor Burst Cyanide Gum, and the very same gum Adolf offered to Eva before the Luftwaffe chauffeur set fire to their bodies, new from Peenemann Enterprises. General Jameson, are you with us?
Yes, I'm... Boy, you're sounding a little rough tonight, aren't you? Timing's way off. It's just...
I'm sorry, it's a little late.
Yeah, it's late every night. What are you, nuts?
I work rather late.
Yeah, I know. You work till like 5 a.m.
And I'm a little tired.
A little tired tonight? Like, what about all the other nights? What are you doing, Dexedrine?
So, as you can tell, I'm not reading very well.
Obviously, you're not listening very well either.
Anyway, General Johnson Jameson joins us from his bunker complex beneath the Saskatchewan crust. A very good evening to you, General.
No, I'm out in Florida right now. I'm about to go inside Hurricane Charlie. What is with you? Don't you understand?
Yes, that's right. I see it here on my show notes. You're in Florida about to go inside of Hurricane Charlie. And why is that?
Well, if your show notes are in front of you, you'll also see it's because I believe little people live in the interior of a hurricane. And I want to prove that tonight on your program, Art. I want to give you the honor of having it proved on your program. However, with that sloppy opening and the very unfunny Peenemann Enterprises commercial, I think that...
All right, well, General Jameson, can we get to the point? I mean, is this... This is going to be an undertaking that is unprecedented, and I want to make sure that people are here for it. They can look at my website, www.
I think he's stuck.
Oh, thank you very much. Ramona just hit me in the face with a sap. Thank you, Ramona.
Yeah, all right.
And anyway, it's on my website, and they'll be able to see pictures of you going into Hurricane Charlie.
Well, what I'm going to do, Art, is I'm going to strap two boogie boards, and I've got some sponges all over me to absorb the moisture, and I'm going to row out into the middle of Hurricane Charlie. Hopefully, I can cut through the 180-mile-an-hour winds in a dinghy and get to the magical land of little people that is inside of the hurricane. But I can tell you, without much fear of contradiction, that this will be a exciting journey. And so I don't know if you want me to do it now, or what do you want me to do?
Oh, you mean you can go into...
Yeah, I'm all set to go. I'm just waiting for the big thumbs up from you.
All right, are you anywhere near Hurricane Charlie?
Yes, I am near Hurricane Charlie, Phil. Art, whoever the hell you are. I'm going to now enter in... Oh, God, you can hear... See, do you hear the wind?
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. And going into it now.
I can't go through 200 mile an hour with. Oh, man, that hurts!
And you can hear the phone being banged around in the wind there. General Jameson, are you all right?
Not even close. Not even close to being okay. Pretty far from being okay, man.
General Jameson is being battered about by the winds of Hurricane Charlie, but maybe, just maybe, he can get into the middle of that hurricane and see the little people that live there.
I don't care if I ever see little people!
Good Lord. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen, across America, North America, Siberia, and all of the Intercoastal Canal territories? General Johnson Jameson was ripped to shreds in Hurricane Charlie. General Jameson, if you are there at all, will you please contact us?
Hello, hello, Art. I'm dead. It's painful, painful, painful.
General Jameson, are you talking to me from the beyond?
Yes, yes, yes. I screwed up.
How do you feel you screwed up?
You gotta be kidding me. How did I screw up? I tried to go to the middle of a hurricane.
Well, that's not screwing up, General Jameson. That was a scientific adventure.
Yeah, sure. Little people living in the middle of a hurricane. I must be crackers.
General Jameson, is that you playing taps on the harp?
Yeah. What do you think? I just learned it.
You just learned it's great. Taps on the harp.
Go ahead. Get off your little cuties. I'm the one in heaven. Now.
General Jameson, will you be on my program?
Not if I can help it. I hate you.
General Jameson. And who is this?
St. Peter.
St. Peter?
Yeah, what do you want?
Is this heaven?
Yeah, whatever.
General Johnson Jameson dies trying to find the little people at the center of a hurricane. I'm Art Bell.
There you go. That is by request. And that is from our new CD, which is Fahrenheit 711. It's Art Bell, and General Jameson tries to go to the eye of the hurricane. We're taking requests tonight. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is Phil Henry. Don't I sound just mellifluous?
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, welcome back here to our best of show tonight. It's an all-request show. It's not really a best of show. It's just an all-request show that we're doing. And you can hear the quality of the broadcast pipes I bring to bear tonight. Obviously not in any kind of shape to do any kind of a show. And so, as I said, I've got the bronchitis that a lot of people got. Newman, my engineer, this poor guy, has had it for like weeks. Pelton gave it to me, trying to give me a big lip lock kiss the other day. I had to fend him off with a gun. Guy tried to put his tongue down my throat. You might be interested to know that, Michelle. And so, even though I was able to, you know, wound him in several areas, he still, you know, infected me. So now here I am with this bronchitis. Well, what do we do? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to do an all-request show tonight, drawing from a variety of sources, our best-of CDs from down through the years, and also CDs and cuts and archive material that we have on hand. And I'm so gratified to know that we're taking actual requests. These are not people that we've set up, or we're not telling people as they call in, you have to request this one. We're taking them as they come, and when we have them, we put the folks on the air, and I'm happy to know that we've got a lot of the stuff that people want to hear tonight. So let's go over to another phone call and see what the caller wants to hear. Our number is 1-800-449-8686 if you have a request from the heavy comedy archives we got on our website and also our CD material. Here's Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Phil. How are you tonight?
Good, man. Other than the cold, I'm doing fine.
Great. Hey, listen, I was hoping I could hear Margaret Gray. I haven't heard her for a while, and I love that bit you did with, I think you call it the White House Buffet. That's an awesome one.
Yeah, she insisted that she's always first in line at the White House Buffet of the press buffet, yeah. All right, dude, here it is. This is Margaret Gray, and she got up into somebody's face. I think she got first in line at the buffet ahead of, like, crippled kids or something. I think that's what it was. Here she is, Margaret Gray. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thanks.
See you later. Bye-bye.
I was concerned with why she's calling them brats if they actually haven't done anything to her.
Well, actually, I think they're working for the president in order to humiliate me.
Oh, come on, will you? Did he go out and find 40 kids to get in line in front of you so they'd get to the omelet station first and mess it up with scrambled eggs so you couldn't get that real good omelet that Chef Jerome... Are you telling me that that's the case?
I have been very critical of the president, yes.
But why are you sitting there and... Okay, so the kids actually didn't do... Let me be more specific here.
Well, they didn't do anything, but, you know, they're still enemy. They're still enemy soldiers.
Well, listen, what? I'm trying to understand from your standpoint, Margaret, and you're trying to make a point, and I see that. And I understand that you're highly respected, okay? But what I'm saying is that somebody else actually escorted these children in front of you, okay? And you're calling them names.
Yes, it was Santa Rice, and I said, get the brats out of there. I get to the omelets before they do.
And you said that?
Because it's understood.
Yes.
Okay, and were you escorted up front, or did somebody actually say something
to
you?
No, they didn't. They told me to just, I'm just going to have to wait. The president wants them to eat first. And I said, okay, I know what this is about. It's about the fact that I've taken Kerry's stand on the Swift boat controversy.
Well, you know what? You know, you're pretty much humiliating yourself, and what I mean, you're
I don't know how, but I will tell you this. You sound like a Bush supporter.
Listen, ma'am, you're watching politics with omelets, That is really sad. You're really sad. And, I mean, this is...
You know, Elizabeth, you know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes?
You look like a rube. You need to back off.
A well-scrubbed,
you know,
hustling
you're
rube.
You're lumping everybody. You're
good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you're not too far removed from two generations of poor white trash.
Okay, I did not call you names.
With all their sticky, tired fumblings in the back seats of cars, and all you wanted to do, Elizabeth, is get out. Get anywhere.
Totally
get out of the way.
To the FBI.
Are you there, Elizabeth?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I don't know. That woman's problem seems to be profound. Mental, physical, emotional, everything.
That is totally inappropriate, and she's degrading her profession by the way she speaks.
So you didn't want to get out to the FBI?
Ma'am.
What do you mean, get out to the FBI?
Can I explain to you, Elizabeth, that they have Denver, Western, vegetable, mushroom omelets?
I love food myself, ma'am. I love food. I totally respect that. I totally respect
the
love of food.
Okay, so why do the brats get to eat before me when all they know is cowboy scramble and ketchup?
Okay, you know what? First off, again, the brat thing, the kids didn't put themselves in front of you. Somebody else did. Calling them names is inappropriate. If you want to call them children, that's fine.
You do like food, don't you?
I love food.
There's a little bit of a glottal in your throat. There's a little bit of a fat vibration.
Okay, and what does that have to do with anything?
Well, you made some references that were personal, so...
What are you saying? Are you saying the lady's fat?
No.
Oh, yeah, that just sounds
like... You want to know something, ma'am? I'm 6 feet tall, I weigh 160, and I've got red hair. Do you really want to mess with me? I don't think so.
And you've got red hair?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're going to have to
And I speak up for myself, too, and you spoke up for yourself. That's
well, you know what?
You
you're 6 feet tall, you say you've got red hair, but we're going to find out whether those drapes match the rug or not. And Elizabeth,
oh, my God, you're so inappropriate.
God, no kidding.
You know what? You're degrading your profession as you speak. You know what? You are degrading your profession as you speak.
You know what you could do for all of us? You know what? You could sit on the phone and we'll guess your weight.
Margaret,
you have gone
from trying to make a valid point.
You know what? I'll send you a friggin' photograph of me. And you can see, and you know what? That has nothing, why do you have to downgrade other
exactly.
people to make yourself feel better?
Exactly.
That, you know, that's really pathetic.
To make myself feel like Adrian Beltre.
You're just making yourself sound worse.
Come on,
the more
Elizabeth,
you talk.
Would you do that for me, darling? Would you sit on the phone? And
all right, get out of here. Okay. There it is. I got to take that off a repeat. That is our Margaret Gray bit from, goodness, that was this year sometime. Somebody requested it's the White House buffet bit, Margaret Gray. And coming up, we've got a real classic, man. This thing goes back to 1997, and it's still requested. And it really, I have to tell you, it really is requested for one reason, I think, and one reason only. I lose it in the middle of the bit. And at the time, I had an engineer by the name of Mike Crozier. And Mike loses it. And so when you hear this bit, you're going to hear us construct it in a rather laborious way. And then all of a sudden, we're going to just absolutely lose our composure. And anyway, that's coming up in a moment on The Phil Hendry Show. We're taking requests tonight at 1-800-449-8686. And we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Whenever you think of someone with hair, think of me, Bob Green.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Due to health reasons, this is an all-request night tonight on The Phil Hendry Show. We're taking requests for bits from all of our CDs, from our flashback archives, and we've had a lot of people calling with things that fortunately we've been able to, you know, grab out of the archive, because you can imagine we've got a really big archive of stuff. And so people will call and request things, and we've been able to get to a lot of it. Let's go to Rick here on line 4. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good, man.
I want to hear All You Can Eat Negro.
All You Can Eat Negro. Now, that's the one I was referring to.
Yeah.
And before anybody thinks it's some kind of overtly racist bit, it isn't. And it's just that we use that very anachronistic term, Negro. It's Mavis who calls up. She's an elderly woman and calls up. And apparently, her son, who was supposed to be buried Baptist, is instead being buried in a Catholic funeral. And she's upset because Catholics, in her words, quote, mack on Jesus, end quote. Basically what that means is they take Holy Communion. And in taking Holy Communion, Catholics believe that is the body and blood of Jesus. So she's very worried about that, and she calls my show, and here it is. Rick, thanks for requesting it.
Thanks, Phil.
Here it is, All You Can Eat Negro. From 1997.
Do you fear your nephew is in hell?
I fear that my nephew is not with the Lord, no.
Not with the Lord. In other words, in hell.
I don't know. I fear knowing the Lord, knowing. And because they ate part of his body like a limbo.
You fear that Roman Catholic communion is they ate your nephew's body?
Yes, sir.
All right, we have on the line in Van Nuys here a Roman Catholic priest on KFI AM 640. Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, ma'am, first of all, I offer my condolences to you on the loss of your nephew.
Are you a priest?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to let you clarify something for you, okay?
Yes.
So this is just, you've been misinformed about the Catholic Church.
Why do you eat people?
Well, if you just hang on, I will explain to you what our belief is, and then you can draw your own conclusion.
But you eat people?
Let me explain what our teaching is, and you draw your own conclusion.
Let the father explain, okay?
Okay, first of all, we believe that when you receive communion, we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
Well, hold on, man.
No, ma'am.
I mean,
I'm just calling to let you know what our belief is.
You eat flesh and blood.
If you want to look at it that way, that's fine.
Oh my God.
That's
fine. I want to vomit.
This is our belief, and you draw your own conclusion.
I want to vomit.
Ma'am, you got to let the father explain.
Why would I want to hear him talk about eating
people? Well,
because
you've been misinformed.
This is like Hellraiser, like Clive Barker.
Okay, first of all, okay, you're upset because you've been misinformed about what happened to your nephew in our ritual.
You just told me, you eat the butt, you eat the whole damn thing.
Excuse me?
Don't you eat it?
We eat the host, yes.
The host.
But he said he eats the whole body of the man.
That's not what I said.
You said you eat the blood and the flesh.
Of who?
Of a man.
No, of Jesus Christ.
Oh, God. Oh, that is a blasphemy.
Well, if you choose to believe that, all I'm trying to do is inform you about our belief because you've been misinformed.
Do you eat up on the booty, too?
I'm not even going to answer that.
I don't understand. What's that mean?
What is this man talking about eating the Lord Jesus?
Let him finish.
Okay.
Let him just say what he has to say.
From the scriptures, ma'am, where Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and said, take this and eat it. This is my body.
Oh, God.
And then he took the cup of wine and he said, take and drink. This is my blood. And again he says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood,
oh,
you have no life within you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is Good Friday.
Exactly.
And you're talking about eating up on Jesus.
I'm just calling to inform you of what we believe.
You're grubbing on Jesus, ain't you?
If
what?
You choose to believe that.
You're grubbing all over on Jesus.
If that's what you choose to believe.
And my nephew, what about him?
Okay, ma'am, as again.
Macking on Jesus. Them Catholics macked on my boy.
Macked on your boy.
I don't believe that. I'm sorry.
Them Catholics macked on your boy, huh?
You want to laugh at
no,
me?
No, Phil, can I ask you a question?
You son of a bitch, you laugh at me?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question here.
It's like some kind of Negro smorgasbord over there.
Well, I'll tell you. Listen,
you know, as far as that other man is concerned.
It's like a brother buffalo.
Oh, my gosh. I'm in a family.
Listen, Father, I thank you for taking the time.
Okay.
I really do.
Ma'am, you have a good Easter.
Well, you pay for your sins.
Well, I'll leave that up to God.
That's true. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Father. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was a Roman Catholic priest.
They're macking on my boy like a brother buffet. Oh, you can eat me. Oh.
What was it? What's it called, man?
All you can eat Negro.
No, all you can eat Negro. Oh, God. So, I understand.
Well, thank you very much.
There you go. That's it from our 97 CD requested there by that cat, whatever his name was. And that's all you can eat Negro. All right, now, what have we got loaded up here? Is it, I forget what did I load here? Bob Green? Yes, I did. Let me just get this call really quick. Nick?
Yeah, hey.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
What's your request, sir?
I wanted to hear the Bob Green where he gets pissed off at Florida for having Disneyland in there during hurricane season.
Because Disneyland is cool and Florida sucks. Why'd they stick it down there?
Yeah, because of this, like he thought Walt Disney was like an evil man and everything, and I don't know, he had a vacation there and he couldn't go to it because of the hurricane, because it closed.
Okay, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Williamsville, New York.
All right, dude, I got it coming up right now.
All right,
thanks for calling. There's Nick, and here's Bob Green, upset about the fact that Disney World is in Florida.
First of all, yeah. I don't even realize where your station is or where he lives in relation
to
the.
I live in Buena Park, California, but we were on our way to Disney World for the vacation
for the
kids.
I'm glad you don't live on the East Coast. I'll tell you that right now because
I am too.
Well, I'm glad that I'm not going to have to ride out a hurricane with someone as ignorant as yourself. I mean,
ignorant.
Yes.
Well, what
about? Have you ever been in a hurricane? Have you ever been in a hurricane?
Ma'am, can I say this?
Have you ever been in a hurricane? Have you ever?
No, that's like asking, have you ever had a finger chopped off? No, I try to avoid those things.
Well, so do we. But we happen to choose to live on the East Coast, so now you're blaming everybody in Florida.
Well, what are you people doing?
Mother Nature is sending her wrath. I mean,
what is it with you people?
Get your priorities a little bit straightened out in your life.
Well, let me ask you this: you build an amusement park, and you say, "Come on down," and then you go, "Ha ha."
That doesn't have anything to do with what?
And then you think it's funny. Then you think it's funny when our kids' vacation gets washed out.
Well, you're crying about your kids not being able to go on vacation. Excuse me, but there's going to be plenty more years with your kids to go on vacation. What about the people's lives that are in danger here in Florida and Georgia and South Carolina? Those people might not even be here in the next couple of days.
Look, ma'am, all I'm saying is I think it's a very peculiar way to get your kicks, building up an amusement park in a place... In a place where there's hurricanes. Why build an amusement park in a place where there's hurricanes? Answer me that question.
California gets hurricanes. California gets tornadoes.
No, ma'am, it does not.
California gets bad weather.
Ma'am, California does not get hurricanes. You're calling me stupid.
Oh,
no,
baby.
No,
there's no hurricanes in California.
You need to watch the weather.
We have a hurricane,
a tropical storm right off the coast of your state.
Let me say this,
today.
Susan. Hey, Susan, this is Phil Henry. There are tropical storms down in Mexico, and we do get some of the muggy weather from that. We don't get hurricanes here so much as we get bad rainstorms, but we do get earthquakes.
Yeah, there you go. Have you ever been in an earthquake? That'll scare five shades of crap right out of you. And my family,
in Florida, South Carolina, I live. We do get tremors from Earth. We do live on earthquake fault. No, we've not had earthquakes.
I'm not talking about a teacup falling off a shelf. I'm talking about your whole house coming down around you. Now,
well, you're crying about your kids being on vacation. You have no consideration for what these people are about to experience.
That's a good
point.
All
you're worried about is yourself and your family and the fact that you stay for a year. Well, you know what? What you should do if you were a good... Maybe you are a good person, but if you had the mindset, you should sit your kids down and explain to them that some things are out of your control and that, you know, there'll be other vacations, and send that money to the Red Cross for these people that have to have
20 years ago, I was a young man, and I dreamed about having my picture taken in front of the Magic Castle and everything else. So,
Everybody has dreams, but you're being so... asinine about the whole thing. You're like, oh, well, blame Florida, blame the tourism.
Well, I think it's a sick sense of humor. I think it's a sick sense of humor that puts an amusement park in Hurricane Alley. That's all.
Bob Green there, and a bit from our show in which Bob was talking. Bob, by the way, the CEO of Fraser Foods, and he is a very wealthy man, and he takes his family to Disney World, and you know, they had to blow their vacation out this year because of all those hurricanes they had in Florida over the summer, and he says it's a sick sense of humor that would build an amusement park in the middle of a hurricane, you know, a hurricane place like Florida. I guess the sixth sense of humor belonging to Walt Disney. Anyway, that's Bob Green by request here on our all-request night. If you just joined us, it's the Phil Henry Show, world famous. The radio show that has redefined talk radio. Well, actually, we haven't redefined talk radio. All we've done is made fun of it. We've kind of shown it up for what it is, which is, you know, hot air. And that's not bad. Hot air is fun. And we got more hot air of our own to come up here on our Best Of Show, our all-request show, 1-800-449-8686. You got a request, give us a call. We're playing as many as we can find. And we got a ton from our Best Of CDs and from our archives of flashbacks and things like that. Don't forget, the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD is available on our website right now. It's called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. It is a two-CD set for only $20. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Go to www.philhenryshow.com and pick up the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're doing an all-request night. I mean, when have you ever heard that on a talk show? Of course, we do our top 100 calls of the year on the July 4th weekend, so why wouldn't we do an all-request night? And what we're doing is people are requesting, and we're playing back calls. We're playing back bits of different characters that we've had on the show and their interaction with callers. And you could call us and request one tonight, and the reason why we're doing that is because, well, we just don't feel like doing a show tonight, man, considering the fact that everybody's got laryngitis around here, and if you can tell, I obviously have been afflicted as well. And it's like every Christmas, all the way back to when I was a kid, I can still remember my mother with the Vicks on the sock, wrapping it around my neck. And there I was going to bed, waiting for Santa Claus. And, of course, the Vicks on the sock never worked, did it? And then she'd rub it on my chest. How's it going to penetrate, like, the bone and everything? What's it going to do once it gets to my lungs? Just scare all the mucus out of there? And so now what I do is I do all that butch stuff. You know, I take a big wad of the Vicks and I drop it into boiling water and I drape the towel over my head and I suck the steam, and it doesn't do anything other than you know, your face sweats. You've got like these Vicks VapoRub stalactites hanging from your nose. All right, anyway, let's go to another call. Our number 1-800-449-8686. And here is Omar. Hello, Omar.
Hey, Phil. How are you doing?
Good, man.
I'd like to hear the Jay Santos bit, the hybrid car.
Okay, now what is
it about that?
The hybrid car in which he wants to go on the carpool lane, but he can't?
Exactly. That's the one.
All right, well, what he's basically talking about is that hybrids get to go in the carpool lane, and yet Jay and his sub-commanders from the Citizens Auxiliary Police are not allowed to go in the carpool lane, even though they're doing their little citizens volunteer police work. So here it is, Omar. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, volunteer cop who wants to go in the carpool lane as a single driver. Hybrid cars get to. Why can't he?
My point for all of this is this man, who is not a full-fledged police officer, if he took down my tag number, contacted DMV, and called me at home, he is breaking my right to privacy because he is obtaining personal information on me that he should have no right to have access to.
Ma'am, I am a volunteer police officer, true, but I do save lives. And
you're an advocate for the law enforcement.
Hold on for a minute. I do have the right to...
Are you out on the highway now?
I am.
I'm sitting on a highway.
Not you, Dottie. I'm asking JR. Where are you?
We're right now, we're on the Marina Freeway. And I'm just checking out tags. See, there's people in the dime lane here, and they're tightening my jaws and pissing me
well,
off.
You know what? You still, regardless,
Dottie,
the point being, you don't have a right to run somebody's tag number through DMV. You are not a police officer.
All right, let me help you out with this.
You are an advocate for the law enforcement agent.
Let me ask you something, Dottie. And Dottie, is that short for Dorothy?
No, it is not.
Because I want to know, how do you get Dottie from Dorothy? That's kind of kooky.
I don't know, but that's beside the point.
All right, here's the deal. Yes. Here's the deal, Dottie or Dorothy, whatever you want to call. I don't get to use the carpool lane, but some guy with a hybrid does. How's that fair? And I got the blue armband and everything.
He's already made his contribution to the ozone and society.
All right, let me ask you something.
By purchasing a hybrid car.
Let me ask you something. Listen to this.
You know what?
Yeah.
You don't hear me.
Huh?
You're not a police officer. You can't do anything to
me.
I'm
not a police...
my tag.
Hold on. Hit the siren on this guy.
Why are you hitting the siren on the guy?
Because he is not... He's failing to slow down so I can get his tag. See, Dottie, if I didn't have this, and you say I'm not a cop, boy, I sure feel sorry for you.
Well, you know what? Anybody can blow a horn. That
anyone
doesn't make
a
you a cop. That does not make you a police officer. That does not give you the right to run people's tags.
Well, Dottie, I'll tell you something. I don't appreciate you talking about blowing something or whatever it was you just said. What I'm trying to say is, you said that doesn't give you the right to blow. Did you say that?
Well, that's like you turning your siren on every time just for the heck of it is against the law.
I know,
law,
man.
Well.
What are you? You're just blasting your siren for kicks?
My whole point to this,
it sounds cool.
Whatever your laws out there are is one thing. Where I'm at, we don't have to worry about carpool. My point is, you are no more than soliciting tag and phone numbers and addresses through your liaison at DMV, and that is against the law.
You
are not a police officer.
Oh,
you do not have authority to do that.
Why don't you lighten up and let me try and save lives? You know,
you can save all the
lives. Try to save lives, you won't even lighten up on me.
I am all for the police.
You're busting down on me.
I'm a volunteer firefighter, and I don't run down the road running people off the road and pulling them over, and I don't call them at home because they
in
front of a fire truck.
Hey, Phil, you want to hear a good one? I knew a guy who burned alive in a house. Guess who was trying to put the fire out? Volunteer policeman. Bird.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, maybe they should have called.
Not a police officer.
Maybe they should have called volunteer firemen.
That's what a guy burned.
You are an extra set of eyes for them.
Dottie, how I love you, my dear old Dottie. I give the world.
Is that the best you can come up with?
Oh, my God.
You're
Oh, my.
You solicit DMV, you break the law yourself. That makes you no better than anybody else.
The Rangers.
Or the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
These are the stories
but
of the men.
You are not a police officer, and you are invading people's privacy when you call them at home.
Oh, I wanted us to end it with one more little boo from the siren. There's Jay Santos, why he can't go in the carpool lane when hybrid owners can. He's a Citizens Auxiliary Policeman, a Brigadier Admiral. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. It's an all-request night, playing bits down through the years from our best-of CDs and our archives. Let's go to another phone call, another request. It's Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
I wanted to hear the Vernon Dozier clip where he goes into a bar in a black neighborhood and says something racist so they'll beat him up and he can prove that he doesn't cry.
Exactly. And he's tough and he wants to teach his guys how to be tough on the football team.
Yes.
Okay, we got it for you. Here's Vernon Dozier. Even the kid who had asthma, he made him run laps because Vernon's been through a lot tougher. He doesn't cry. And as Pete just said, he even went into a bar in Florida in an all-black neighborhood and got the crap kicked out of him, and he never cried.
Hey, Coach, name's Tom.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm a vet, too, and I'm going to tell you.
Oh, you're not
my
a vet.
View, I'm listening
Everybody's
to
a vet all of a sudden.
Well,
what
hey,
are you
I can back it up. Well, hey,
what
I don't
you?
See where you're a vet and where you're proving it. Well, I
well
don't
you ain't proven you're a vet.
Enough to be a coach.
You ain't proved you're a vet.
I can certainly pull my papers out and show them, but I'm telling you.
Where were you, in Vietnam or someplace like that?
You think you're a bad boy. You think you're a bad boy.
Hey, I got my
butt. You're a coach, you're doing all, so you don't cry. Kids are kids, and they're allowed to grow up. They should
right.
be allowed to grow up and express their pain and whatever they feel and all this other stuff.
Oh, come
and you don't deserve to be a coach.
Do you coach kids?
You coach kids. You don't have the right to be a coach.
Why not?
If you want to be a big bad boy and teach somebody not to cry, and you're talking about our military, why don't you go join the military, find out what it's like, and maybe they'll let you try to train these troops to be a man and where
when
they won't cry when they're getting shot at,
right,
whatever.
Now. When you say you're a vet, were you a vet in Nam or Pinky's Animal Hospital? Because
why do you got to disrespect these guys?
Because
look, Pinky's Animal Hospital, let me tell you something. I don't need your kind of criticism or whatever you want to call it out here.
Hey, Tom, let me...
You don't deserve to be a damn
sir.
Coach.
Every
you
Wednesday
don't
morning,
any of these things, fellas.
I want to ask you if in the military that you were in, if anybody could take this kind of pain, then I'll respect it. Every Wednesday morning, my wife backs a Cadillac Escalade out of our garage right over my hand. I put my hand on the garage floor and have her
you,
back.
You, sir, are a complete and total idiot.
Oh, I'm an idiot because I can take
be,
pain and I don't cry.
You do not deserve a position as a teacher to teach
I'm
children anything
question,
because
Mr. Dozier,
the simple fact is, why do you want to teach a child what it's like
Coach
to
Dozier, start? You're telling me that you allow a mule to kick you in a private area, you have your wife back a car over your hand, and you purposefully went into a bar and got beat up by six guys. Why would we consider you to be anything other than insane?
I'm able to take pain and not cry, and these guys are talking about crying, and they're in the military, and you're criticizing me?
Coach, I want to tell you something.
Why
if
you
I
doing
was
that?
A kid's father, you would not be a teacher of any sorts when I was done with you. I can assure you that. I'd go to every agreement I could to get you out of a teaching system and put you somewhere where you really deserve to be.
Look, Tom, you say you're a vet. I think I got a hairball. Can I come in and...
He said he's a veteran of the military, not a veterinarian.
Oh, all right.
I'm a veteran, as in U.S. Navy. And you want to talk about Navy boys and
stuff
like
that?
Why don't you join the military and go out and really find out what it's like to be in the military?
Why do I need to be in the military? My wife backs a car over my hand.
Listen to this
guy.
Well,
you're such a big bad boy that maybe that's what we need in Iraq.
I don't need to be in the military. I got a mule to kick me in the Royal American. Hey, Tom, here's what you like.
I'm going to tell you something, fella.
In the Navy, you can meet a lot of guys in the Navy.
You know what I think this
guy's flipped.
Yeah,
well, I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
You go over there, Iraq, even
as
a civilian, you would not survive.
Well, wear those interesting pants.
But you don't have what it takes.
Tom, thank you very much for your call.
In the Navy, in the Navy.
Shut this guy off. There it is. That is Vernon. And what you didn't really hear specifically in that call, but he did reference it a little bit, Vernon went into, like I said, he went into an all-black bar and said, I think the line was, do any of you, and he used a racial epithet, have a light for a cigar that he holds up? And they proceeded to beat him for like 5 hours, and he never once cried. He just looked up at them and smiled as they pounded his face in. He's very proud of that. Well, there you go. There's Vernon Dozier. We have more requests coming up on our all-request night here on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Got a backstage pass. You can hear all this stuff. Hey, by the way, I got a call from a guy, or I got a letter from someone who wanted... Oh, his a friend of his wife had actually called the show and argued with one of our characters. She didn't know the deal. And they were laughing their ass off, and they finally told her what was up, and she goes, oh, my God. You know, she was embarrassed, but they wanted to know if we could send them a copy of the show. And I said, well, no, we don't do that, but we do keep a 30-day archive on our website. So if there's a show you heard that you want to hear again, or there's an hour you heard that you want to hear again, you can go to our 30-day archive. We keep every show in a 30-day archive on our website, which is www.philhenryshow.com, all for $6.95 a month with a backstage pass. So try it out. You'll love it. We'll be back with more requests in a minute.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
If Dracula bit you and you were wearing a garlic necklace, wouldn't you sue the garlic barber? You savvy?
The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, we're back here on our Best Of show. We call it a Best Of. It's actually an all-request show we're doing tonight. You can tell because I got the laryngitis that everybody in the world's got. And so we are taking your requests at 1-800-449-8686 and see what it is you want to hear. We got cuts from old CDs, flashbacks. We do have an FCC question, believe it or not, which I'll go into in terms of what we're allowed to play on the show. It's bizarre, to say the least. In any event, let me go to this caller right here. It's Levi. Hello, Levi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
Good. Sorry about your voice.
Yeah, that's cool. What's the request?
Well, I was wondering if I could hear that show where the guy was suing Microsoft for making Halo because it made him beat his son.
Oh, yeah, because his son beat him in Halo, so he beat his son, yeah. It's Steve Bozell as he sues Microsoft.
That machine didn't cause him to do the corporal punishment on his kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's the fact that video game can sit on the shelf and never do one thing to make him beat his kid. The fact that he went to the store and bought that game and played it was where he should take the responsibility for.
I'm sorry, did you say something?
The man's talking to you. What are you doing?
I'm sorry. Hold on. Hold on, kid. Don't take that to work. I was playing a game of Mortal Kombat, and I'll tell you why. That lady that was on the phone, and then the other man who was on just after her, wouldn't allow me to be right about one thing. As a result, now I'm playing Grand Theft Auto. What about that?
Yeah, that's good.
Is the caller there? Is anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here, yeah.
But okay. If you're not, you know, you don't have the common decency to listen to anybody. All you want to do is have your own point and not listen to nobody else thinking you're always right. Okay. The possibility is there that you are dead wrong.
Okay, that may be too. But let me ask you something. If I play a game of House of the Dead, Halo, or Myth, and I lose to some kid who's like 11, and I pick the kid up and I throw him out into traffic, you're saying I'm wrong.
You're definitely wrong, and it's not the video game's fault. That video game sitting at the store is not hurting nobody.
Just sitting there.
You made your mistake right when you went and bought the game. You ain't got enough intelligence to know the difference between game and reality.
Okay, maybe that's true, but I just want to be clear.
It's definitely true.
All right, I just want to be clear. If I'm playing Donkey Kong with, like, a kid, and the kid bitch slaps me at Donkey Kong, okay, and I take the kid, and I stick him in the trunk of my car, and I drive my car into a lake, you're saying I'm wrong.
You're wrong for putting the kid in the car. Now, you ought to take and get in the car and do the driving off into the lake. That'd be cool for everybody involved.
Well, you know, sir, Look, because I get angry if I'm playing Frogger or what have you, or Donkey Kong or Frogger or any of the Marco, you know, any of the them games, and a car hits me, and then I want to beat a kid, you're telling me I'm wrong, and I don't see where you're coming from.
What are you talking about, man? I've been sitting here listening to you. If I play Frogger and a car hits me and I want to beat a kid, if I stick a kid in the trunk of a car after I got beat at Donkey Kong.
I'm just saying, it's like this. Here's another way of looking at it. If you were Superman, okay, is your name Eugene?
Yes.
Yes, sir, okay. If you were Superman and you knew kryptonite was in your front yard and your son threw a hunk of it at your head, what are you going to do? Sue kryptonite? You savvy?
What's the deal with all these ifs? We're talking about what you've done. We're talking about reality.
Yes, that's
exactly. Get away from your video fantasy world. As your favorite word I heard a while ago, if my aunt had a penis, she'd be my uncle. The ifs don't work with me.
No, but it's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Let's say a ghost eats me in Pac-Man. Then I take a kid and I just kick him clear into the street in front of a van.
What? You know, this man's right.
It's still your fault because you're playing the video game.
Exactly.
Nobody's
same
forcing
thing.
You to play the video game.
What do you
You
mean?
Ain't got enough intelligence to put the controller down and push the off button.
Well, I don't get it.
You don't get it. If you're... What do you mean?
It's called take responsibility
for
your
actions,
own action.
Well, two of you guys ought to go on Broadway.
What's happening here is... The audience has got more sense than you do and shutting you down.
So if the Superman son... No, you didn't shut me down.
No, the audience...
You shut down, but you ain't got a good argument tonight.
You're smacked down.
What about the kryptonite argument?
You so far shut down, you in the basement of that video game.
If you knew kryptonite was in your front yard and you threw a hunk at Superman's head, you're going to sue kryptonite.
What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, you won't admit to it. Okay, I'm going to drop a kid.
All right, there it is. That's I think that's Steve Bozell, right? And he wanted to sue Microsoft because his kid kicks his ass at Halo 2. So then he wants to beat his son. We'll be back with more of your requests here on the Laryngitis Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, this is the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, as you can tell from the sound of this kid's voice here, we're doing an all-request show tonight. And we wanted to do that because we just want to throw up another tape. Although our show taped is better than most shows live, I would say with all humility. But I'm sure we would get agreement in many areas. In any event... we have a show that we're doing tonight where we're taking requests, and our number is 1-800-449-8686. And so if you've got one, lay it on us, and we'll try and get to it, like they say there in the music field. Here is Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Hello. I'm fine, other than my throat. I'm doing fine, man. Thanks.
I was going to tell you, man. Hope that voice gets better soon.
I do, too, because it's like only my living.
I'm in Denver, man. I know how it feels.
You're in Denver, so you know how it feels to have laryngitis.
Oh, man, if you saw the game last night.
Yeah, that looks wicked, dude. Is everybody sick up there, too, on top of the cold?
Oh, I'm telling you. Pneumonia.
Yeah, I saw the airport was all messed up. Although, I got to tell you, watching a game like that on TV is so awesome. I mean, the mud and the snow is so cool.
Oh, and then the field goal.
And I've been
blocked.
Yeah.
How about them Raiders, huh?
Aren't they just so Marvy? Such a great team. You know, Al, the sooner you get, back to your farm and leave the footballing to people who are, you know, live in the 21st century, the better everybody's going to be.
Well, I actually live in Tampa. I'm here for the holidays, and I know how you feel about good old Warren Sapp. You can have him.
Yeah, Sapp sucks. So do the Raiders. You know, I mean, they just stink. I mean, right now, though, I shouldn't talk. We got no pro team in L.A. Although the closest thing to it are the Trojans.
Yeah.
And every time, you know, I like SC, but that nickname... Every time I say the word Trojan, it's just, it ain't like it used to be. You can say it with innocence. Now every time you say go Trojans, you feel filthy. I feel so dirty. Anyway, you got a request?
Yeah, this one's actually, I don't know how recent it is, but this is Clara Bingham from, I think it's only a few weeks back.
Uh-huh.
where she was calling in saying that the white women have had the party's over when it comes to dating the black
men. Yeah, leave our black men alone, you white girls, because they need to build their black families. Okay, you're right, brother. Here it is. Here's all Clara Bingham, and you white girls leave the black men alone.
I've dated a black man, dated for a black man for all 5 years, and it's the black man that seeks the white woman out. I'm Mexican, and they're the ones that seek the woman out, not the woman seeking the man out.
You're Mexican?
Yes, I am.
Well, that's not quite the same thing.
It is. I've lived in America all my life.
Well, I know, but you're not. But
I'm
you're not
American.
You're not white.
I am American.
You're American, yes, but you are.
But
you're basically black.
The black man does not seek the white woman. Is the one that seeks the seeking out.
I don't know.
It's not
in
the woman.
Your case,
and
we can't
I don't
be sure
any
because
honey, around or their
all right, hold on. Hold everybody. Hold on. Everyone's talking over each other.
I'm just simply saying, Phil, in her case, it's not really the same thing.
Why?
Because
it's the same thing.
She's Mexican, and there is a little bit more of a black thing going on with them than there is white women.
Are you saying, in other words, Carmen being Mexican, she's not white?
Not the kind of white woman I'm talking about.
Well, what are you talking about? The blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman?
The middle class, yeah.
I am middle class.
Not some purple nail polish wearing. You just said, I am not, no. You see, your language is like from El Monte or something, darling.
No, I'm in Vista, California, and I'm not from El Monte.
Well, you're
home girl or
well,
anything.
Well, you sound like a hoochie mama with that no, I ain't no kind of language, right?
Oh, no. The only hoochie mama
what do you mean,
is
hoochie?
Your girlfriend.
My girlfriend, I'm an educator with a 4-year degree
so
as a teacher. You are a teacher and you speak that way, that kind of English?
Oh, excuse me.
What do you teach?
I work.
I said I was a teacher. You said you were too. So what do you teach?
I've taught everything. And I'm also work for the greatest place
everything?
Ever.
Let me ask you something. Do you know how to remove a cuticle? I think that's what she means by teaching.
All right, now wait a minute.
No, I'm not no person that
I'm not
name.
No. Here she goes with that language again. Girlfriend, you have got to get a book on English and learn how to construct an English sentence much
you
more.
You teach what? Preschool?
I teach young people how to say I am, not I'm not no.
Excuse
all right.
me.
Yes, that's right. Now, you go get your purple nail polish and go out and find yourself an African man or whatever it is you...
Yeah, you're African
you're speaking down.
You don't teach speech, do you, darling?
Don't need to.
Have you...
I really don't need to.
Where did you teach basket weaving?
When I'm talking to a woman like you, I really don't need to.
Well, wherever you taught people how to weave baskets, I think you need to...
Now you're putting the Native American down?
If that's what you are...
Are you putting the Native American down, too, the original American?
I guess you're going to tell me you're that, too, huh?
I am white,
then you're Mexican, and now you're Indian? Look, the Indians...
Indian? What is Indian?
You know, the Indians with the whole war hoop thing. Is that what you say you are?
We're Indian? I thought we were Native American.
Whatever floats your boat.
Everybody that's listening to the Henry Show, Native Americans, please call this woman because she knows nothing of what she's talking about.
Well, I tell you what. Next time you have a war dance,
I've never heard of an Indian.
When do you sweep out your teepee and invite me in for a cup of whatever you have, and we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm,
but next you'll be telling me you're a leprechaun.
Okay, there is Clara, and that is... like the lady said, or like the gentleman said, I should say, a fairly recent, although I wasn't sure, was that a lady or a gentleman? No, it was a gentleman. I'm just kidding. I'm totally got distracted because Notre Dame just fired Tyrone Willingham, and, I mean, they just fired him today, and I just was reading up on past Notre Dame head coaches, and you'll pardon me if I'm a bit distracted by the whole Notre Dame drama since I was there Saturday night and I watched SC kick their ass, and I just want to see how the whole thing plays out there in South Bend. However, that was Clara. And that bit, of course, about how white women keep your hands off our black men. And you know what? There is some truth to that, isn't there? Just kidding around for anybody who may be even slightly offended. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're very proud to present a bit that is a classic. It's a bit that I think will go down in history. And to lead us into it is Paul at Oceanside. Paul, go ahead, man.
Hey, Phil, this is Paul. I'm a major in the Marine Corps, and I tell all the Marines that join us at Camp Pendleton that they have to listen to as part of their basic training.
Beauty.
And the bit that I recall was Bobby. I guess he was a mentally handicapped individual, and this contractor was using him to screen luggage in an airport.
Right. It was right after 9/11, and they needed to get new security guys fast. And so this dude was using kids from some halfway house for the mentally deranged. And so here it is. And thank you very much, Major.
Thank you, sir.
Here it is, brother. This is called Plane Go Boom from the year 2001. It's a real classic on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Larry, this is Rhonda. I'm in Las Vegas.
Wait a minute. Here it is, a real classic on the Phil Hendry Show.
Bobby is on the conveyor belt right now. Bobby, tell Lisa. This is Lisa.
Hi.
Lisa, can you hear Bobby?
I can hear him just fine.
Hi.
Hello.
All right, now, Bobby, tell us what you see on the conveyor belt.
That's a sweater. A jacket.
That's right.
A briefcase. Plane go boom. Plane go boom.
All right, now he just said plane go boom because he saw a gun. And although it isn't really a gun, it's a comb. He's getting better. But I dare you.
Wait. He just said plane go boom, and it's not a bomb, and it's not a gun, it's a comb?
That's right. And I have to.
Well, you're not going to give that kid the
I got to. Just,
Why did
you please stop abusing that child?
I'm not. I'm making
no,
him
what
understand.
You're doing is what you're doing is degrading his person.
Pants go brown.
That's right. Your pants went brown.
What you're doing is degrading his person. How would you feel if someone hooked you up to a machine and shot you every time that you got something wrong?
But what else is this kid going to do with his life? Sell flowers?
He could do a lot with his life if someone like you wasn't sitting there ruining his self-esteem.
Lisa, Bobby could spend the rest of his life sweeping up at McDonald's, scaring children.
And you know what? I would be a lot happier with him doing that than what you're doing to him right now.
Bobby, quit playing with the conveyor belt, okay?
Plane go boom.
No, the plane's not going to go.
I would be much happier seeing my son working at McDonald's asking someone, do you want fries with that, than seeing him hooked up to a conveyor belt and being shot. I don't even know how the parents of this child, Bobby,
I'm Bobby,
can allow you to do this.
How old is Bobby? 23?
I'm Bobby.
He's 23, yeah. And he turned off the conveyor belt. Give me the phone, Bob.
Well, what I would say then, Vernon, you all right?
Just trying to get the phone away from him.
What I would say primarily is that it's... I can't hear...
Give me the phone.
I'm Bobby.
I know you're Bobby.
How can you have this guy checking stuff at an airport when he won't give you the phone back? You know what I'm saying?
Bobby, watch cheese.
Here's some cream cheese. Turn this off.
And the fact that you have the nerve to even call a boy a retard, to me, is extremely offensive. Because that child is not a retard. And you need to look at what you're doing.
The hell is going on? What's going on?
He wrapped the phone cord around my throat.
And you want him working in an airport?
You want him working in an airport?
What?
You want him...
I think there's nothing wrong with it.
Hello? This is ridiculous. Get the phone away from the kid, okay?
All right, now look.
You want him working in an airport. Do you honestly trust your security and the security of our nation to a boy who would wrap a phone cord around your own neck?
Say that again.
What are you doing?
I gotta get the cord off.
This is insane.
Bobby's dirty now.
Oh, clean him up, will you, Bobby? Lisa, thank you for your call. Go clean the kid up, okay?
Bobby, take the cord off, will you?
Bobby, go brown.
All right. Mr. Dozier?
What?
Are you okay?
Well, if it were not for me, he'd be mopping up his own drool at McDonald's.
I'm now going to end the conversation, okay?
Well, forget your security system. It's way in the back.
There it is.
Plane go boom.
The very great plane go boom there. That's from Vernon Dozier before he was a head coach, when he was running a security service for the aftermath of 9/11. We got more requests coming up here in our all request night, on a night where we are definitely under the weather here, as you can tell. And so what we're doing is playing some of your requests at 1-800-449-8686. Got another serious classic coming up, or do we? Well, we got everything's classic. We got some Rudy coming up. People dig Rudy Canoza. We haven't heard him in a while, so he'll be up next on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You look like a rube.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
It's all request night here on the Phil Hendry Show. And that means you can call in and request a favorite bit from a CD, from a flashback, from our archives, whatever. You know, last year after the Janet Jackson episode, there was a whole heavy thing that came down around the business. Watch the stuff you run on the air, so on and so forth. We really got busted down on hard by the company we work for. I've got no complaints, I mean, but a lot of this stuff has just been taken away from us, believe it or not, because they're afraid that it may be a violation of, you know, FCC law, which we've never, ever jeopardized anybody's license, but I guess they got to do what they got to do. However, some of the stuff that's been left to us, we're still able to play for you. And here's one. As a matter of fact, I got Mark here in Oceanside. You can lead us off with this one, Mark. What do you want to hear?
Yeah, Phil, Rudy Canoza was great. Him and his colloquial sayings in Spanish and berating you as a stupid American for not being able to do it right, his little thing that he does.
Yeah, his whole la-la-la bull crap.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah. Well, here's Rudy. Yeah, he's a lingerie shop owner, and here he is.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Here it is, brother. Rudy Canoza on the Phil Hendry Show. Thanks, Mark.
I just think this guy's an idiot because...
I've been in the lingerie business many months. I know what a woman wishes for.
Okay, do you work in the lingerie business, or do you actually wear the lingerie? Because I'm about 5'2".
Yes.
I'm short. I admit it, I'm short. I'm not thin.
All right.
My husband, all he does is call me sexy, left, right, and center.
Can I ask you a question?
I wear lingerie because it feels good.
No.
Not because my marriage is on the rocks.
You must not, Susie. You must not wear the lingerie. How much do you weigh, please?
I weigh 150 pounds.
All right, darling. You must never wear the lingerie. You must never.
Why do I not wear the lingerie? I wear the lingerie because it feels nice.
Because you will look like
I like the way the silk feels on the body.
You are 5'2". All right, that's fine. Wear it so that your husband can't see it.
First of all, women
are not. Does your husband wear glasses or anything?
Women come in all different shapes and sizes.
Absolutely.
Some have bigger breasts. Some have smaller breasts. Some have bigger butts. Some have smaller butts.
I understand it, Susie. But
women come in all different sizes.
By the way, Susie, I happen to like a woman
perfect.
With a nice big butt myself.
That's good for you, Phil. Jesus.
What do you mean, good for me?
I'm trying to say that I acknowledge that all women come in different sizes, but not all women should wear lingerie. They will look like a circus midget. They look like a freak.
Why can't all women wear lingerie?
You look like a freak.
Women should be able
nuclear
to feel
disaster.
Free. To wear whatever they want.
But they can wear it, but
if
don't
it feels
make a man
good,
look at it.
To wear it.
Don't make the man look at it. Don't force your man to look
Why
at it.
Why not? If the man likes to look at it.
The man likes it.
Doesn't make me go out and buy lingerie.
I buy
it because I like the way it feels, and my husband likes it.
Exactly. He has never asked you. And you know why he's never asked
you? No, he never asked
me. Because he has prayed on his knees night after night. Please, God, don't send her home with the lingerie. Please, dear Jesus. He loves you naked. Let him see you in the glory of your nudity. But do not force him to.
No, he likes seeing me in lingerie. He likes seeing me in lingerie. He calls me nothing but sexy. There's been times where I say, you know what I need to lose some weight. And he goes, no, you are sexy just the way you are.
What's with that foghorn?
We've got some large women coming here. We've got some short women, too. I'm sure he loves you the way you are, Susie. And I'm sure he's got a bowling ball bag for you, too. But I would...
Why do you have to insult? Why is it a necessary thing?
I'm joking. Susie.
I'm beginning to think if you actually sell the lingerie or do you actually wear the lingerie?
You are calling
or
me.
Or better yet, are you single or married? You're probably single. That's why you're making fun of every other woman because you don't have a woman for yourself.
I have many women for myself, Susie. I cannot tie myself up to one woman. There are so many
blonde
women.
Blonde hair, tall, thin, average model type?
As a matter of fact, they are. If you must know, I wear a thong.
Do they not wear lingerie for you?
I wear a thong in the store. My women wear what I ask them to wear, and the women who wear the lingerie for me, of course, they look good in it. If they do not, they do not wear it. But I wear a thong.
What do you mean you wear a thong in the store?
I wear a thong throughout the store so that women can feel comfortable.
Okay, I'm quite sure that there's not women going inside your store if you're wearing a thong in the store, because I would run the hell out of there mighty fast.
The women come into my store to look at the lingerie. They love to see Rudy in the thong. You would too, Susie. And I could make you look as beautiful.
I go inside the stores to look at the lingerie that I like something because it feels nice on me.
What would you suggest Susie wear? What do you have in your store?
I have a beautiful backless panty. You know, the back is cut out so your husband could see your ample posterior and he could lust for it. And then I would have, now you are really flat, right? So we won't even bother that. And then...
Wait, I'm not flat.
If you were to come in my store and you purchased a yellow belly...
You don't know anything about my body, so you can't be saying
if
I'm flat
or not.
But you must
know this, Susie, never wear a yellow teddy. Never.
Why?
Because she would just look like a walking ball of cheese.
You know something?
Okay,
I'm going to hang up on this freaking...
Color looks good on me or not. You don't
because
know my hair color. You don't know my eye color. How do you know that yellow doesn't make me look good?
You
don't
said you're 5'2".
You don't know, so you don't know
five...
what color looks good on somebody and what color doesn't.
You just told me you're 5'2", 150, right? Thank
yeah.
you. Don't
that
wear
doesn't
yellow.
Say my hair color doesn't say anything about what color would look nice on me.
Trust me.
How do you
don't
know that
wear...
yellow will make me look like a ball of cheese?
Five,
you don't know
two,
my hair color. You
five,
don't know anything
two,
about
one...
me besides how much I weigh and how tall I am.
That's all I need to know. 5'2", 150.
How is that all you need to know?
Look at you sound perfectly lovely.
Yellow may be the best color on me.
I bet if you wear a thong from my store, you'd look like a marshmallow with a string around it.
Now look, why don't you give... You sound very lovely, Susie. 5'2", your husband thinks you're a beautiful thing, and I bet you are, okay?
That's real good, Phil. That's it. Get on her good side. White lace, and you'd be Swiss.
Okay.
Excuse me, what I wear is white lace, and my husband just loves it.
All right, Susie. Well,
what, are you going to let her go?
Why?
Because she's going to go out there. She's going to go out into the world now wearing a yellow teddy to look like a ball of cheese. And you will do nothing about it?
I'm going to let this woman go and make her husband happy. Thank you very much, Susie.
Thank you.
Susie, don't wear it. Please. Bye-bye, Gouda.
Oh, man, that cat rocks. I love Rudy. Rudy Canoza there, man. He owns a lingerie store. And you'd look like a walking ball of cheese, honey. Trust me, if you wore yellow. There's Rudy, by request. Everything by request tonight at 1-800-449-8686. And we only got about a half hour of the show left, but we will continue to take your requests on account of we don't feel good. We have rough-sounding throat. We got to get out the Vicks. And, no, I don't want you rubbing it on me, Chris. 1-800-449-8686. Call my wife. Tell her to come pick me up. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. ...1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, we got another request here for you, and we are taking requests tonight at 1-800-449-8686. The cuts you're hearing are coming either from our Best Of CDs or from our archives, and there's a ton of them. And we only have a few minutes left, so if you've got one you'd like to hear, give us a call. Let's go over here to Russ. Hello, Russ.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Honor to talk to you.
How you doing?
You're a comedy genius.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to request, back when the sniper in the D.C. area was going on, and Jay Sanos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police were out looking for him, they were sandbelting people's vans to see if they had painted them recently, and you had a Marine call in, said, you know, you touch my van, there's going to be problems.
Yeah.
And then Lloyd Bonafide joins in, and he was going off about what they do to people like him, you know. And
exactly.
Old Mike backed right out, but he didn't want anything to do with it after that.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I got that for you, man. It's you're right. Jay Sanos, after hearing the police say that the D.C. sniper might have recently painted his van, Jay
right.
was stopping cars and belt sanding the paint off of them. And here it is. And thank you for calling with it, Russ. Here's Jay Sanos, man, with his belt sander.
I did over 20 years in the military.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, Semper Fi to you. I'll tell you what. I drive a van. I just had it painted. And if I go to one of your flare drops and you try and put a belt sander on it, there's going to be a problem, and you're going to have it.
Sir,
you ain't searching nothing.
Sir, it's a belt sander that is industrial use. Now, you just had the car painted. Why?
Because it had scratches in it, you creep. I'm going to tell you something. My secondary in the military was as an MP. You touch my car, you search my car, or you touch anybody in my family or me, and there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a citizen's arrest, and it's going to be you getting arrested.
Sir, I got to ask you this time. Do you own a sniper gun?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. I got a souvenir from Vietnam. You got a problem with that?
All right, let's put that together. You got a sniper gun? You're a Vietnam vet, which could mean some mental imbalance. I'm not saying...
What are you talking about? mental imbalance.
You know our Vietnam vet, sir, came back a little cracked, messed up in the head.
Oh, I see, because I served my country, I'm messed
That's
up in the head.
Yeah, now. That is absolutely unfair. 99.9% of our Vietnam vet.
Come on, Phil, you know the stories. You've read the newspapers.
Yeah, and did you ever look at that? I'm just telling you, if I pull up the one of your flare drops,
okay,
you try and put a belt sander on my vehicle, you're going to eat the flare, and then you're going to be arrested. And if you try and search my vehicle, then you're really going to be arrested, and you're going to be sued because it's a violation of my civil rights.
I
don't even have to let a cop search my van.
Hold on,
Mike, I want you to stay on the line because you're a veteran. I got another veteran on the line here.
Yeah.
Hold on. Lloyd, is this you?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd?
First of all, I want to echo everything that Mike has said, and I was just listening to this fella, and as a fellow veteran, if this bastard touched my Winnebago, I would, oh boy, you don't even, and I did 3 years in the Korean War, sir. And
well, you gentlemen are threatening me.
You listen to me, and you listen good. You put a sander on my Winnebago, which my wife and I use once a year to go to see my daughter-in-law in Portland, Oregon, and I will tear your eyes out, and I will have sex with your skull. And
all right, sir.
I mean, that's how strong.
See what I'm talking about? And this is the thing that I've got to put up with as a citizen.
No. You,
what?
You got it wrong. We got to put up with people like you.
We got to put up with you, you piece of garbage. And you know what we used to do to guys like you in the service?
Yeah.
We'd Vaseline up their rear end and go ahead and go to work on them. One after the other. Isn't that right, Mike?
Wait a s-
I'd pound you into the ground if you touch my vehicle, and I can do it.
Well, gentlemen, I can assure you that I sound like I'm probably a little bit younger than both of you. I think I can handle both of you, no problem.
That's a good one. Hey. Buddy, you put your hands on me, and you'll pull back two bloody stumps.
Okay, now I'm a fag, and I'm going to have my skull sexed. Anything else, gentlemen?
What I'm telling you is that if you ever touch my vehicle without my consent or search my vehicle without my consent, one, I'd show you how tough you are, and two, you'd be the one in jail. How's that grab you?
I couldn't...
Well, sir, I don't think that's going to happen because...
Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll back him up, too. I'll come along. You know what I got in my garage? I got a machete that I got in right after the Chosin Reservoir. One of the Marines gave me a machete. And you want to see it?
Okay, we've got enough violence going on here.
Well, these guys are talking about hurting me. And
well, but you're pulling over and you're belt sanding their car. You detained a woman for 4 hours.
She called me a faggot. She called Subcommander Bill Nugent a faggot. She called Major Elvis Newton a faggot. She said that we all look like faggots in our fairy-ass pith helmets.
Do you want to be a police officer?
I think part. I am a police officer, sir.
No. You want to be a certified police officer.
Sir, I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We save lives.
I'm asking, do you want to be a certified member of the police force?
Are you meaning that have the cars that get to ride in the
what
cars?
What I'm meaning is to go to the police academy and become a certified police officer.
And be in a car with
real cops that know that they're not allowed to search my car without my permission, without probable cause.
Why did you answer the man's question?
I don't think. There's too much politics involved.
In the police force?
Yes, sir.
No. Please. Now, I'm trying to be reasonable with you.
I'm being reasonable, too, sir. There's far too much politics. I can make my own hours this way.
So you go out play policeman, right?
Sir, I play policeman.
My kids play cops and robbers. That's what you're doing.
You know what I do with you? And let me tell you what I do. I wouldn't stop for you. I'd keep right on driving. And I'd flat...
Oh.
Well, I mean it. I heard this guy. I thought I was going to come out of my shorts.
Sir, all we're trying to do is save lives.
You're not saving any lives by sanding my car.
You're not going to save your life, because if you put a belt sander on my car, I will drive over top of you and every member of your family.
All right, I got to get the address of both of these gentlemen, Phil, if you have enough time.
What for?
I've been threatened by both of them. I need their addresses.
Don't give any address.
I'll give you my address.
Don't do it.
Mike, you going to give them your address?
sure. I'll give you my address. I live in Fort Mitchell, Alabama. Come on down.
That's right. I live in Alhambra, California, okay? After you get your ass kicked
You live in California?
Yes, sir.
That explains a lot of what you're saying.
I beg you, what's that supposed to mean, sir?
Hmm?
I think he means you're kind of a gay boy.
I'm a gay boy? Let me tell you.
No. We lost the
connection. We lost the connection.
Yeah, sure.
I want to give him my address. You want it?
Yeah, go right ahead.
123 Ass Kick Street.
Mr. Bohannon?
I'm Phil Hendry, sir. I'm not Bohannon, yeah.
Yeah, Mr.
This is not the Jim Bohannon show?
No, sir.
Yeah. Well, then I've got the wrong program.
There it is, yes. Thank you. Thanks for the plug, man. It's Phil Hendry's show, not the Jim Bohannon show. And that was Jay Santos from the year of the Washington, D.C. sniper belt-sanding people's cars. Just a few more minutes left here on the show tonight. We're doing an all-request show. And if you want to pick up the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, you can do it at www.philhendryshow.com. Go to the souvenir shop. We got a ton of requests here, and I don't know which ones we can get to, but when we come back, we'll get to a couple of them as our all-request night continues at 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You flip a phone in a Korean War veteran, and you pull back a bloody stump.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I got a little bit of a footnote. At the beginning of the show, I read how our show, in fact, if you enter my name into the Snopes, Snopes.com search engine, actually two things come up. Snopes is a website that you could go to find out whether an urban myth is true or not. And two of our Steve Bozell bits actually made it into Snopes. And the people who write the Snopes reviews and who do the critical analysis and eventually the investigation to find out whether the urban myth is true or not mentioned our show a couple of times because of these Steve Bozell lawsuits. But at the conclusion of one of their entries having to do with Steve suing CBS over Janet Jackson's breast, they write, quote, "As proof that good satire often anticipates reality, at least one real lawsuit was prompted by the Super Bowl incident. Terry Carlin of Knoxville, Tennessee, filed a proposed class action lawsuit seeking damages for emotional distress caused by the exposure of Janet Jackson's breast." That's something we call life-imitating Phil. But there it is on Snopes. All right, we're going to go to another request on the Phil Hendry Show. Time for just a couple more. Here is Dave. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, how are you?
Good, man.
Good. We hope you feel better soon, but it gives us a chance to hear the classics.
Yeah.
Got one for you. High school teacher Vernon Dozier proposes to a female student at graduation.
Yes. Vernon was looking forward to graduation day because he was going to propose marriage to some chick that had been in a history class he taught. Thanks a lot, Dave. Here it is, Vernon Dozier.
Well, he's sick. He's a pervert.
Hey, wait a minute. The girl's 18. That don't make me a pervert. She's
you
legal.
Know what?
She's legal.
All you want is sex.
Well, does that make me a perv?
You know what? It's going to backfire on you. She's not going to want you.
It backfires on me.
She's not going to want you, and she don't want you now.
Wait.
You know, that's your sick mind.
You're
a sick man.
How do you figure she's not going to want me?
She don't want you because you know what? Your conversation ain't even right.
Well, what does that mean? I don't understand my conversation right.
You sick.
Well, maybe I couldn't sweet talk.
You are all pervert.
Hey, you know what? You don't like my conversation, but that's fine with me because I don't think I'd take you to a bullfight. But this girl is.
All right, no need to insult the lady.
Well, she's insulting me.
I'm telling the truth.
Hey,
about
let me ask you a question seriously. Have you got a glass eye?
No, sir.
You ain't got no plastic leg?
No, sir.
Too bad.
Yeah, it's
otherwise
too bad for you.
Otherwise,
you know what? That's probably how you look
me.
With a glass eye and a fake leg. but you a sick pervert, and you need some psychological.
I don't know what neighborhood you come from, but 18's old enough. I'll tell you right now, that father owes me $6.80 for footlong.
You 57 years old. You can't do nothing.
Hey, I'm gonna ask that girl to marry me. Get her over to my apartment in Tarzana.
She ain't gonna do
the do and the funky chicken too, and then tomorrow morning we're off to Monterey.
You sick?
I may be sick, but I tell you what, if I'm sick, hell, I hope I die from what I got.
You know, Vernon, it is increasingly sounding like
the guy owes me $6.80 for a foot long tuna with extra pickle.
There he is, Vernon Dozier. Because that girl who he proposed marriage to, her father accosted him in a subway parking lot. And the dude was coming out with an extra foot-long tuna or something. I don't know. All right, there is a request for Vernon Dozier's classic, I Want to Marry That High School Senior. Here is Gary. Hey, Gary, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Gary?
Yeah, hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good, good.
Hey, I hope you're feeling better. I'm calling here from the Motor City.
Right.
And the very first time I come across you, I've been listening to you ever since. It was about 5 months ago. It was Margaret. She was doing a movement for gender reassignment for the Starlets in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, gender equality or gender neutrality, something like that.
You know, in, I look forward to 10 o'clock every night ever since I've listened to that. It was cool. The funniest part was when one of the Starlets wished they could have write their name in snow.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, if you could pull that out of the archives,
all right,
that's the very first skit I've ever heard of you, and I've been listening ever since.
Thanks, man. All right. Okay, Gary, here it is, dude. This is Margaret Gray, and I think it was one of the great actresses on her deathbed said to Margaret, get me gender reassigned.
It was Agnes Moorhead.
Yeah, Agnes Moorhead. Well, we'll hear it right here. It's Margaret Gray by request on the Phil Henry Show.
I must make a comment, dear. I am 47 years old.
Yeah.
I have worked in GM for 29 and a half years. I'm an electrician,
yeah.
Meaning that I wear men gear every day. I wear the man stuff. You know what you're talking about? I have to put it on every day. And you know I can't wait to go somewhere and put on the feminine stuff to feel like a woman. I say, God made me what I am. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. You got to be comfortable in your own skin, dear.
Well, it is true, Loretta, but it's also true that we've been able to transcend the essential creation of God and cure diseases, for instance. And I'm simply saying that being a woman is a disease that we can cure and become full partners, full people.
It's a disease?
Being female is a disease?
Yes.
Is it a disease?
Of course it is. Look at how you've been treated. And you, if I may say, are you African-American?
Beg your pardon?
Are you African-American as well, dear?
Yes, yes, I am.
All right. As an African-American female, you have been treated worse than any of us. And I think, Loretta, when the day comes that you and I can stand side by side at a urinal saying...
Oh, come on!
Dear, I'm in men's bathrooms all the time. I got to go in there and power it up. You know, I go in the bathroom, I say, woman coming in. I don't say man. I say, woman coming in bathroom. Meaning, get your ass out or you can stand there and go, with me. Don't fight to me. I don't feel inferior to have to pull it out and go, you know. Because we own sex, baby. Men don't own it. We the one who tell them when they can have it and they can't have
it. Doesn't matter.
Do you know the power that a woman has? We the one who has. I mean, I say a woman is more inferior than men because we need each other. But women have a certain control, has a certain amount of power.
Well, men have asked us to believe that, yes. But I say the power of sliding on a pair of tight briefs and looking at yourself.
Oh, come on, will you? I mean, the lady just made a very good case, a strong case, for women and the power they had.
Look, Loretta, I had lunch with Jennifer Aniston and Rebecca Ramone and Joan Collins. You know what? They simply said, they grabbed themselves and said,
yeah.
I think...
No, they didn't.
You're giving me bad examples. You're talking about Hollywood. We already know what Hollywood represents. If that's all you can give me, because see, real women are women like myself, who are here working every day, who are taking care of themselves, who ain't looking for a man to take care of me. I'm looking for a good man so we can put something together. I ain't looking for one to take care of, and I ain't looking for one to take care of me. But like I said, I'm comfortable in my own body. I don't need to have a man complete me. I am complete by myself. But if I find someone that I can be with, then we can share together. It ain't about me trying to be equal. Women ain't got no business being equal. God didn't mean for us to be equal.
That's
if
fantastic.
If we were equal, then why don't men have children?
That's
do
great.
Do you know
Loretta.
How bad the population would be if a man gave birth?
That's fantastic, Loretta. Margaret,
give me a break.
Your response, Margaret.
Loretta, you're very passionate, and we need females like you in our movement. But I just want to say one thing. A very, very wonderful woman by the name of Coco Chanel lay on her deathbed. She invented, as you know, the perfume. And Coco said to me, do you know how empowering it would be to stagger out of a car the same way a man does on a Friday night, drunk as a skunk, and be able to go ahead and write your name in the dirt? And I said, Coco,
you know what?
And then she died.
You have penis-itis. That's what you have. You're the one who envy a man's penis. I don't. You know what I'm saying?
Well, B. Arthur doesn't agree with you.
Okay, wait a hold on, hold on. Yeah, hey, Loretta. Yeah, Loretta, so far what we've had here, B. Arthur, Coco Chanel...
Yes.
Barbara Streisand, Meg Ryan, Andy Garcia, and Tim McGraw all support your big cause.
Yes.
Loretta, darling, you are a strong...
I'm not impressed, dear.
You're strong. We need you so badly.
These people don't mean nothing to me because, like I told you, the real women are the one that you're talking to. I am a real one. I'm not saying they're not real women, but they're Hollywood. And Hollywood would do...